Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another Audio Secrets, lifting the veil on the secrets of audio recording. Now, I was planning another episode, but we got a series of questions in. See, that's what happens when you ask for them. Feel free to send in more, and I will answer them. But we have a bit of a backlog, so I thought it was fair this week to clear up all your questions and to go through them with you, so I can explain everything. Without further ado, the first question, from a listener. Of course they're a listener. You recently mentioned you had a new sound booth. What was wrong with the old one, and how is the new one different? Well, my old booth, and this is really letting you in on a secret, wasn't a booth, not really. It was soundproofing curtains hung up around a microphone. Yes, it was. There was no booth as such. There was no room that I went into. I went in. It looked like, you know, if you see in the hospitals and they put the curtains around the bed. That's what it looked like. And that's where I went and I recorded. Now, the problem with that is it's great for sound quality, for the actual voice quality, but it's not very good at keeping noise out. And I happen to live on a flight path, which during COVID has been very quiet, but there are still the odd planes that go over. And the geese are a pain, yes, and the seagulls. They do rather make a lot of noise. So during recording, there'll be long periods when I would have to stop and just wait for the noise to subside. Of course, there's a farmer at the back of me, and there'll be occasions when he'd be digging up his ground with machinery and you could hear the machinery, or a neighbour had a summer house built and I could hear the builders. There was one point in time where I was recording and I could actually hear the builders' voices in the recording, so I had to redo it. So the new booth is actually a room. You can't hear that, can you? Because it's padded as well. Yes, I am in my own padded cell. It's official. They have put me in a padded cell. No, the room itself is actually a room within the studio. It's built out of plasterboard, but it's special soundproof plasterboard, so it's laced with cement and it has a rubber backing, etc. So this stops all the noise coming in, hence why you can't hear geese at the moment. Or the farmer over the back, who happens to be, right as we speak, digging up his ground. Yes, he is. There are no planes from what I'm aware of at the moment, but being in the booth, I wouldn't be able to hear them anyway. But so the new booth really shuts out the outside noise. That's the main thing. Yeah, I had the sound treatment before. I've just put it inside its own room. So, next question. If someone was interested in a career in audio work, don't do it. No, seriously, it's fun. Could they build their own booth? Yes, you can. You can actually buy the plasterboard. You can buy the plasterboard yourself, and you can, as long as you're capable of building a partition wall, then you can build the booth. It's not... The actual building of the booth isn't bad because you actually buy the materials in. So the materials are pre-made, they're prefabricated. The complication comes with treating the booth. Now, this is really where I had the issues, because if there's no treatment, it just sounds like you're in an empty room. It does. If you go and stand in your bathroom and record yourself on your phone and listen to it back, you'll hear an echo, a resonance, and it sounds like you're in an empty room. Whereas if you have a room that's got loads of furnishings in and things, it doesn't, it sounds natural. And hopefully this sounds natural. This is, you're thinking, this sounds like he's right in the room with me. It's just like he's talking to me. It shouldn't sound like an empty room, which is all it is really, just with foam panels on. Lots of foam panels. The foam panels stop, because when you're in a tight space, when you're in a small room, when you speak, your voice bounces. It does. And That's the sound you pick up on in a bathroom. Is that bouncing voice. And it causes strange echoes. And it sounds, that doesn't sound natural. That doesn't sound right. Whereas when you've treated the room, the eggshell covers, the egg box covers that you see on the walls in studios and the big bits of foam, etc., are all there to stop that. Now, where that's placed is key. If you place it in the wrong place, if you just put it all over the walls, it will be a dead sound. There won't be any resonance to your voice. It will just numb your voice. And that's not right. That's not natural. There should be some resonance. So it's a case of working it out as you go. You know, to give you an insight, you have to put the egg foam behind the microphone and behind yourself. And then the sides, you basically have to dampen it so it just absorbs the sound and doesn't reflect it around. Now, that probably got a lot more technical than you wanted. But if you're interested in building your own booth, you're going to have to find these things out. The quickest and easiest solution is to get an engineer in. I didn't at first, and I wish I had. It would have been a lot easier. Next question. Your voice is your job. How do you protect it? How do you avoid certain things to keep it clear? Yes, I don't tend to eat dairy. Certainly not, I'd say, 2 or 3 hours before recording, but I record first thing in the morning. I drink more water than you probably want to know about. The most important thing with your voice is to keep hydrated. And you may not know this, but your vocal cords are the last thing to get hydrated in your body when you drink water. Because if you think about it, they're pretty much the least essential thing in your body. So when people get dehydrated, and you do, if you ever get into a recording booth, the first thing you'll notice is after about 20 minutes, how dry it is. How dry it is. And it is. It's even in here now, and I've been in here, 10 minutes? And it's very dry. So I drink loads of water, tons. I drink about 3 or 4 litres a day at least. Especially on a recording day, because I do dehydrate out very quickly. And I dehydrate out quickly now in the new booth, because, of course, to keep out sound, one thing it is airtight. So, yes, so if you hear me fading in a minute, that's my carbon monoxide. What else do I do? Oh, I use a nebulizer. Yes, I do. It's a quick way of hydrating your vocal cords. Because it sprays effectively steam right to the back of your throat. I don't have asthma or anything like that, but it just makes sure that my throat remains nice and lubricated. What else do I do? Not a lot. I don't drink coffee before I record. Coffee is a dehydrant. I don't smoke. I drink at least a litre of water before I start recording. And then I have a bottle in here with me, generally, but this one's empty at the moment because I've been recording all day. It's mainly hydration and practice. It's like any other muscle. If you think about your vocal cords as a muscle, as your voice as a muscle, the more you practice, the stronger your voice gets. Do I have a favourite genre to narrate? That's a difficult one. Generally speaking, I'm well known for doing erotica. Is it my favourite genre? If it's a good story, yes. I like horror. I like a good story. I like a story I can put emotion into. I think that's the main thing. For me, being a news broadcaster would be like a hell on earth. Just to keep your voice monotone and add no interest. That's just not me. I like to put passion into what I narrate. So anything that evokes emotion in normal people. Yeah. I want to create that emotion. And that's where I feel I'm happiest. So horror, thrillers, erotica, that sort of thing. Yes, those tend to be my favourite genre because they are emotion-filled. Do you warm your voice up before you start? And if so, what do you do? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have exercises. I have vocal warm-ups. Yes, Devlin Wild does oral warm-ups every morning. Seriously, there's a series of sounds I make. I'm not going to go into them because they sound a bit weird. Yes, they do. I was going to think about doing them, and I thought, but basically, they're just a series of sounds. It takes 2 minutes to do the sounds. I then do a breath exercise to control my diaphragm, because it's the diaphragm that's the most important thing when you're narrating. You have to have control over it. Everybody thinks you go, take a big breath and speak. No, you try to take sips of breath while you're narrating. It's not always successful, but you do try. I also have a practice narration for about 10-15 minutes, because I narrate pretty much as soon as I get up in the morning. I don't have coffee. I have a litre of water, which takes me about 5 minutes to drink, and then I'm on with it. Now, the problem with that is my voice hasn't woken up yet. It takes about 20 minutes for your voice to wake up in the morning and get rid of that sleepiness that you can hear sometimes when somebody's just woken up, and the vocal cords to tense enough to give you the right volume without sounding tired. So, yes, I do like a 15-minute narration, and it will just be something out of the news. It'll be just, it might even be a chapter of the book I'm doing before I start with the proper recording. It's like an athlete. I can't compare myself to an athlete. God, as if. But it is. It's like, I am an athlete of the oral world. There you go. There's a thought. So, yes, I do. The exercises are just consonant pairings. You say things like, bee-poo, bee-poo, tee-do, tee-do, which is really, really interesting to listen to, isn't it? But it gets your vocal cords moving. And then I'll take a deep breath and I'll say the alphabet twice before I run out of breath. Go on, give it a go. Go on, try it now. Take a deep breath. Just say the alphabet twice without taking another breath. I'll wait. Now you can do it after. Next question. Your listeners will know that you have recorded your own Lamb of the Slaughter. Yes, I have. Lamb to the Slaughter. I did. I'm finishing off the other chapters. I'm hoping to have it done. I'm going to say not next week, but midway through the following week. That should be finished, and I'll have it in for editing then, and making sure it sounds nice for you to listen to. Was it easier doing your own story, as you had created the characters in your head and knew what you wanted them to sound like, or did it feel more like pressure? Honestly, it was easier. But not particularly because of the characters, but the style of writing. When I write, I have a very, an almost conversational approach. So when you're narrating somebody else's book, somebody else's story, they'll use phrases. The way they structure sentences will be different to how you naturally do it. So you'll find yourself having to change how you would naturally say something. And that takes a little bit of practice. That takes some practice. And that's why I do read the books through and through. So I can pick up on these phrases and think, aha, there's a tripping point. That's where it's going to go wrong. And I can practice them. So when I'm actually in the recording booth, that just flows naturally, as if it was always intended to be. But recording Lamb was was a lot easier than recording other audiobooks because it's written as I speak. And that's it's not the characters so much, it's the phrasing within the story. What got you into recording audiobooks? Several things. I wanted to do stories rather than just the experiential erotica. I know that there's a lot of people that are unnerved by experiential erotica. They think, oh my God, I'm going to go into hypnosis. I'm going to end up walking around like a chicken. So I wanted to give pleasure to all those people that said, you know what, I enjoy your voice, I enjoy your stories, but you know, I'm a bit nervous about being hypnotized. Yeah, and although, I mean, if you've listened to the experiential erotica, you'll know that the intensity it brings because you have been hypnotized takes it to a whole new level. But I get it that some people just don't want to do that. But getting into the recording of audio, because I wanted to do stories, and there was a good author friend of mine, Lacey Hightower, who said, look, you need to do audiobooks. You're good at telling stories. You're good at narrating. So I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go. And now, at the moment, I'm in a position where I've got one particular publisher who is looking as having me as their lead narrator. I'm sure what a lead narrator is. Probably just a badge that you get saying I'm a lead narrator. Seriously, no, they do want me to do a series of their back catalogue. And they want me to narrate it. I have other authors who are saying, I want to book you up for a whole series. So there is an opportunity there, and I'm enjoying it. So thank you, Lacey, and thank you everybody who supported me and said, yes, you're good at telling stories. How do I originally come up with the characters? That's a difficult one. I look for traits within the story that reflect their personality. I think the voice should always reflect the character. And so I have to read the book and get a feel for their character, much like an actor does, before they get on stage. I read through the book and I pick out bits, and I create this image of this character and say, well, who is this like? As I've mentioned in other podcasts, I do create facial expressions, but that is to express the emotion. So that means when I'm in the studio, I can just put that facial expression and bingo, there I am in that character. And whatever emotion I'm trying to portray, that facial expression will help bring that back to mind. But the original conception of the characters is really comes down to the book, comes down to picking the characteristics and thinking, who would this be like? Somebody famous. Because you want somebody that you can research. Or somebody you know. I have brought people I know into the stories. Try to pick out which ones. Apart from that, it's difficult. You get it from so many different places. You know, as like I said before, one of the characters for an audiobook I was narrating last week, I based him very much on Tony the Tiger. Now, I'm sure the author didn't have Tony the Tiger in mind, but to me, he was playful, but he had an edge to him. He was a fun-loving werewolf, so I didn't want to do a fun... How many fun-loving werewolves are there? Could do the Tasmanian Devil, I suppose, but he doesn't really voice a lot. You know, and cartoon characters tend to be, when you copy a cartoon character's voice, it's always over accentuated. It's done mainly for children, apart from The Simpsons. So you need, that tends to be over the top. So I tend to bring a little bit of the character, because the character from different sources, you know, so it might be a mishmash of different people, different characters on screen, but I try to pick something that I can actually see, something that's related to the genre I'm doing, preferably, or at least the marketplace. So, you know, I'm not picking a character that's been designed for children when I'm doing an erotica, because it's not going to work, is it? Yeah. Apart from that, sometimes I just make it up on the spot. Sometimes I just think, what is the emotion? Rather than picking out a character, I pick out a collection of emotions that this character expresses and try putting those into it. Okay, next question. That was a very good question, very complicated one. How do you keep track throughout? Keeping track. Demo reels. Every time I start a new audiobook, I do a demo reel of all the characters. So each character has a 2-minute slot where I'm just narrating some of the narrative just to get their voice right. So when I come back to chapter 25, when they haven't been in the book since chapter 1, I can listen to that for 2 minutes and I'm back in their character again. It's the most effective way I've seen of doing it so far. If anybody's got any ideas how I can better. I do make notes, by the way. I do make notes on each character. So I do make notes of the facial expressions because that tends to be a reminder as well. But if you've got a better idea how I can do it, I'm all ears. I really am, you know. When you edit your books and discover a mistake, do you have to record? Yeah, not the entire section. I do generally, when you make a mistake, it's generally going to be one word. And that's the most annoying thing in the world. So what you do is, you have to put the word into context. There's a different ways of saying the word that can have a different impact, you know. And if you take it out of context of the paragraph, you'll lose that. And it sounds weird. It doesn't matter what anybody does engineering-wise. The emotion just isn't in that phrase, and it will stand out like a sore thumb. When you had done that one. Does it get tiring recording all day? Yes. I don't record all day anymore. I've noticed further down. So, well, I'll answer this one now. This is someone asked, what's the longest you record in one sitting? I have recorded up to 6 hours a day. And honestly, you can't talk. You have to take regular breaks. You're sipping water all the time just to keep yourself hydrated. Yes, it's extremely tiring. I limit how much I record now. And does your voice change? Yes, you'll notice that the Monday podcast is recorded first thing in the morning. This is the end of my working day. You can hear the voice difference. There's no editing done with this, by the way. This is my natural voice. Monday is my natural voice. I don't do anything with the podcasts. So yes, my voice does dry. It dries out. Now, there are ways of dealing with it. Keeping lubricated all day. I hope you're lubricated all day. Taking a mint every 15, 20 minutes. Just a normal mint. It clears up. What happens is, because when you narrate, your mouth is open all the time. For all those hours, your mouth is open. So all the bits in the air come into your mouth. You can't avoid it. You can't. It just doesn't. There's no way of avoiding it. So if you have a mint, it clears that mucus off. And it does help, but you have to keep taking them. You have to keep taking them because every now and then you'll get more and it will keep going. How many different books do you record at a time? And how do you record, keep track of all the parts? Basically, I have recorded 3 audiobooks at one time. Obviously not at the same, right, you know. But what happens is I split them up. I have actually implemented a project management system. Oh God, that sounds posh, doesn't it, and complicated, but it does help. It does help to keep track of the projects. And it is necessary. But generally, now I will record I will record one section, I'd say one chapter, but sometimes, because some authors will do you a chapter that you will have to narrate for 2 hours. And if you try talking solidly for 2 hours without shutting your mouth, see how your voice sounds. It's not the same as you start off. So you have to break the chapter up into 20-minute segments so you can just keep stopping. Thankfully, for most books, 20 minutes covers a chapter. So what I tend to do is have a block of, say, 2 or 3 chapters that I'm doing for one book, and then I'll do a block of 2 and 3 chapters. But I take a 5-minute break between. Now, each of those chapters is saved to a separate track. Hopefully, that keep it separate in filing. That's all. You have different folders on your computer. And every time you start a new section, you save it as that book, dot, 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 chapter, whatever it is. Next question. How long does it take you to narrate a book? That depends on the length of the book. It takes me 1.5 hours to narrate 10,000 words. To have it sounding right with all the emotion in and allowing for bloopers. Yeah. Now to edit 10,000 words with the copy editing to make sure all the words are in the right place and everything sounds right. And then to do the mastering so all the sound levels are right. You're generally looking at about another 6 hours on top. So that 10,000 words will take 8.5 hours to create into a finished product. Now, obviously, if there's mistakes in that, then those mistakes go on the recording list for the next day. And they have to be basically copy and pasted back into the audio. Without any technical issues. 10,000 words, probably between 7 and 8.5 hours of work time. So a 50,000 word book is about a week, start to finish, provided everything goes well. Next question. How can I make my voice sexier? I'm not sure I'm the person to ask for that one. Okay, here's some little things you can do. You can. To make a more emotive mode of speech. Smile. A smile conveys in a voice. You can hear it. You can hear a smile down a telephone. It's true. Try it. You can. Keep yourself lubricated. Put yourself in the mood you want for that emotion. It surprises people that if you want an emotion to come across in your voice, if you already feel that emotion, it's halfway there. You know, if you want to be sexy, if you feel sexy, then it will sound in your voice. Slow down when you're speaking. People speak too fast. They try to rush it. It's like a rush. It's like a quickie with sex. It's like a quickie. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do this. Slow down and enjoy the moment. Give people time to digest what you're saying. Let their imagination grab it and make it their own. And the other thing is vowels and consonants. Now, this might sound like a weird thing, but consonants give you the structure of the words you are saying. Vowels give you the emotion. So when you're what's called RP English, which is the classical narration style, you're taught to accentuate the consonants because they are the structure. They are the framework of the words. But when you're doing something sexier, you don't want a framework unless you're into something really kinky. You want emotion. So you accentuate the vowels, draw them out a little bit. Just draw those O's out. And just let the consonants slide away. And it works. It works. It makes it a lot more emotive. It does. It brings passion into the word, because suddenly the vowels are the focus, which they're not normally when people speak. The consonants are. Next question. Have I got another question? Da, 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 da. Sorry, I'm just going through the questions here. Making sure I've answered everything. I think I have. So, we're caught up with questions. But please, feel free. Send questions. Send questions. I like questions. They make my life so much easier because I don't have to sit down and think, my God, what am I going to talk about this week? I have no idea. I don't. Seriously, I just walk in here without a clue what I'm going to do. It's just whatever has happened during the week and anything significant that I think you might not know about. So if there is something you don't know about, feel free to ask me. So, now on Monday, we have a new story. And yes, it is dark. I'm going to be doing a little erotic horror. Just a little one. Just to whet your appetite. And next Friday, we will have the Make It Up As You Go Along audio sequence. So, I hope you have a great weekend. And I look forward to getting you in bed on Monday. Where we can explore a filthy story. So until then, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.